Well, we are talking today with Alan Rosenblith, and who cable listeners may remember a while ago, we had an interview with him. He did a film and about it was called The Money Fix. And the first half was about sort of the whole monetary system, you know, what the Fed does and everything. And the second half was about a Hood River, where they have a local currency called, I think, Hood River Hours. So anyway, we have Alan back again to talk about his latest project. Alan, welcome back to KABU.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show.
So tell us a little bit about what happened in Hood. What's going on in Hood River now? They had this kind of an hours exchange, a local currency where a lot of businesses were part of it. What's going on there now?
Yeah, well, it's some very exciting developments have been occurring out in Columbia Gorge. And basically, when I filmed them, they were a group of about 130 people who accepted this currency, 130 people and businesses who accepted this paper currency in trade. And since that time, about 2 weeks ago, we did a screening and fundraiser out there of The Money Fix. And within a week of doing the screening, although this was not all my doing, there was quite a bit of good fortune involved as well. But within about a week, the Downtown Business Association, the Hood River Downtown Business Association, had bought on to this idea, and are now all of the members of that are going to be accepting river hours as payment for goods and services. So it's really come into the mainstream there in a major, major way, which is very exciting. And actually, they just got the Gorge Local Currency Cooperative, which is the organization that runs River Hours, just got title sponsorship of Hops Fest, which is a big kind of beer and wine, local beer and wine fest that's going to be taking place out there. So you know how when you go to one of these concerts and it says brought to you by Red Bull or whatever, and like Red Bull's all over the place? Well, that's going to say brought to you by River Hours. And so they're going to be doing a huge outreach program there to kind of get people interested in local currency.
Well, that brings to mind, is the Hood River Distillery part of this, or is that a local company up there?
I actually don't know to the extent to which all the I do know that any people who are selling stuff at this event are going to be accepting River Hours in payment. And that was part of the agreement that the Downtown Business Association made with River Hours. So it's very exciting. And I think what it shows is that local currency, the concept of local currency, can really come into the mainstream and doesn't have to be limited to kind of an ideological corner. It can be a very mainstream business idea, and really help promote businesses.
Well, I know Portland City Council appointed a peak oil task force last year, and they presented their report to the council earlier this year. And they, I know during the meetings where they made this report, you know, they talked about local currencies, not in any big way, I suppose, but just that, you know, it was sort of a thing that people might want to look at, if depending on how the economy goes, which seems to be mostly down these days.
Yeah, well, that is another very powerful reason for getting involved with local currency is, of course, that our energy supply is largely imported, and the degree to which we can be getting things closer is the degree to which we won't be adding to the price the price of the oil to transport it, to create it, and so forth. And also, local initiatives tend to be smaller scale, a little bit lower impact on the environment. So that's another very positive thing, that it can promote sustainability too. And just the fact that people have a stake in it is really important. When you go local, when you're dealing with kind of international things, it's very easy to kind of have an anonymity with, you know, so in other words, if you shop at Walmart or something and, you know, your clothes or wherever, whatever is made in China, it's very easy to kind of shove that, the implications of that under the rug. But when one's supporting the local economy, that the way people are treated, their status in their business, et cetera, that's all very public information because it's one's part of the community that's actually creating the goods. So local currency is an excellent way to showcase that and allow, give a sort of a leg up to local businesses. To
why don't you tell us how, sort of briefly, how does it work?
Well, there's been numerous different models that are taking place right now. There's roughly somewhere between 5,000 and 7,000 local currencies around the world today.
That many? Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they range in size from, you know, very small to, you know, 20 members or whatever, to very large, sometimes mm-hmm. 5,000, 6,000, entire town. I mean, Salt Spring Island up in British Columbia, mm-hmm. it's most of the town uses their, or most of the island uses their currency. So I believe it's 5,000 or 6,000 members they have.
Really?
So,
yeah.
And the way it works, there can be several different types. And one of which is to have the money backed by national money. So basically the way that works is you would buy local money with national money. And then at a given point in the future, whenever you wanted, you could turn that local money back in for national money. And the idea there just being that because you'd have to go through that extra step of converting it, it would make a person think twice about where they spend it. So in other words, rather than having to go down to the wherever was converting it, they could say, oh, well, why don't we just go to this local business that's using it. And so that's one type. And Berkshires has, perhaps some people have heard of that, that's in Western Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And that's more or less the model they use. They're backing it with national money. Then there's programs like what's happening in Hood River, where they issue currency based on the number of people who are going to be accepting it. So, you know, they have X number of members, and then they issue a currency proportional to their membership. In other words, it's backed by the goods and services of the people who agree to accept it. So, and that's a lot of currencies work that way. Ithaca Hours, which was the first quote-unquote hours system, mm-hmm. kind of pioneered that. And River Hours is one of those. There's been a lot of Madison Hours, and actually Calgary Dollars up in Calgary has used a similar strategy. And then there's what's called mutual credit systems, where basically people one can think of it kind of like a barter circle or something like that, where, you know, if let's say I do something for you and mm-hmm. I say that it's $50 worth of goods or services, I would get a $50 credit and you would have a $50 debit. And you could work that debit off with another member of the community, and I could spend my credit at another member of the community. Mm-hmm. So really what it works, it's kind of like a clearinghouse. And these are have been called local exchange trading systems. And they were originally invented by Michael Linton up in British Columbia.
So something like that, it would go beyond just existing businesses. It could just be ordinary people, you know,
yeah.
mowing lawns, babysitting,
exactly.
doing all kinds of sort of the underground economy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And there is, you know, one can then also play with the idea of how one denominates that exchange. So in the case of many LET systems, it's denominated in the actual national currency. But then there's a concept known as a time bank, where it basically works the same way, except the unit of exchange is the hour. Mm-hmm. So in that particular case, everybody's hour is the same as everybody else's hour. Now, I think this is a wonderfully idealistic notion. I tend to be a little skeptical about how well accepted that could be
in the business
community.
Sort of the idea that a doctor's hour is worth no more, no less than a street sweeper's hour.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that has a powerful implication. Actually, in Bali, for well over 1,000 years, they've had a time-denominated currency, and about a third of the adult Balinese person's life is conducted in this time currency. And it's how they put on all their amazing festivals and cultural offerings without having a whole lot of national money. So I think it has a enormous amount of power. I think, however, within the business community, its effectiveness is, it's a way to build friendship among a network and less so in business wise. So anyway, those are the basic systems. And I'd really like to get onto is the fact that we're going to be starting. I got so inspired working on this film about this that I decided to join a local currency initiative here in Portland. And we kind of, there's three of us kind of working on it right now. And I think we came to the decision that we really wanted to make an open call to the community and try to get as many people involved with this as we could. Because it really is a community-based initiative, and we don't want to just sort of be in a corner somewhere designing something that we hope people will use. We want to keep it, we want to have a very open door and have an open design process for this. So yeah, that's, we're going to be actually having a meeting September 23rd from 7 to 9 p.m. at People's Food Co-op. And it's going to be an introductory meeting where we'll talk about local currency and some of the different ideas that have and design schemes that have been invented. And we're going to see if we can start putting something together for Portland.
So that's September 23rd. That's a Sunday night at 7 at People's Food Store, which is Southeast 21st, a couple blocks up from Powell. So how have you, so you've been talking to different businesses around town or?
Yeah, well, we've been, you know, building the initiative. It's kind of in its initial phases right now. And we've been talking to a lot of people working in the sort of economic justice and sphere. And there's been a very strong initial response. I think there is, of course, a curve of skepticism to overcome, which, you know, it's, I think really what's interesting about it is that, you know, we spend a lot of time worrying about money and a lot of our effort goes into making money in some way or another. And, I think what's interesting is the degree to which people have a kind of, well, it's almost like a lot of anxiety and a lot of worry about it. And when something new like this comes along, I think it's only natural for people to get a little bit skeptical. And anyway, what has been really amazing about what's been happening in Hood River is the fact that that initial skepticism recently has been, you know, just whoppingly overcome.
That's really amazing. Well, you know, there's sort of, there's kind of a mindset, I think, you know, we've been sort of indoctrinated in the idea that money comes from outside us. So it comes from somebody else who's going to hire us or do whatever, and that, you know, that we depend on this outside source for our income. And this is a really, it's a radically different idea. It's not a new idea. I guess it's been around for quite a while. It's sort of, maybe it's the federal model that's new in, as far as history goes.
Well, I mean, it's really quite amazing because when you think about it, an exchange system should be a way for all of us to participate in society in some kind of positive way and, you know, and be remunerated for it. And so an exchange system at its heart should be a way to bring us together. It should be a way to build community. It should be a way to, you know, promote strong values. I think what unfortunately has happened with the federal monetary system and the sort of global monetary system is that we've gotten into a mentality where we have to compete for scarce money. And there's always a feeling where there's just not enough. And, you know, a lot of people feel like they work very, very hard and do not get compensated fairly for their work.
Well, money leaks out of the city. It leaks off to offshore banks and all kinds of things. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really at the heart of it. What local currency is about is getting back to the heart of the true nature of money, which should be a thing to bring us together, to build community, to build things of value within our community and to feel secure and confident in our own work and our own ability to help others.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know here at KBOO, you know, we have a whole bunch of local small business people that support KBOO. In fact, we have a membership drive coming up, and we get a lot of support for, you know, we have restaurants supply meals for volunteers, and we have people supply premiums that we give away, and just becoming a member of KBOO, you get a discount at some of these businesses, and so in a way that's almost like a sort of a form of local currency right there.
It is, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, currency has a number of different forms. Something as simple as a coupon can even be considered currency.
Mm-hmm.
Frequent flyer miles is another example.
Oh, yeah, they get traded and sold and everything else, don't they?
So, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is playing with the way in which we exchange value, the system within which we do that says a lot about what will happen within that system.
Mm-hmm.
So, extend an invitation to all those businesses and people that you're talking about to come to this meeting on the 23rd.
Well, all you folks out there, and I know some of who you are, you know, because I shop at some of these places myself, but the people who support KBOO, you know, small business people or service people who offer services, I mean, could be all sorts of things, you know. If you are listening, come to this meeting. It's when is that? Sunday, the 23rd at People's Food Co-op, which is on Southeast 21st near Powell. They have a nice meeting room too. You know, they got a new building, or they really rebuilt their old building, and they have a nice meeting hall upstairs there. So,
I think another thing that should definitely be said is that in no way does local currency wish to, in any of the systems that I've studied, wish to replace national money. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we do need to have a national exchange medium, and it's been very good at fostering certain things. Industrial development and all that kind of stuff has been completely enabled by national bank money. Local currency, I think, is just a way to kind of supplement that and let the national money do what it does best mm-hmm. and not have to have that necessarily be interfering with, you know, what having an exchange medium on the local level. So there's nothing, there's no part of this which is saying, well, we want to drive dollars away or anything like that. In fact, if local currency used in conjunction with dollars, so for instance, out in the gorge, many businesses will do something like they'll accept 20% of a purchase in local currency.
Mm-hmm.
And if that has the effect of attracting people who would have otherwise gone to a big box store or some other place, they've actually kept more national money in the system. So in addition to, you know, working with a local exchange medium, they're also retaining federal dollars as well. So more federal dollars and local currency. It's a win-win situation.
Well, I don't think it'd be possible for local people to drive out. You know, we can't defeat the Fed.
No.
I mean, the Fed may wind up defeating itself, but that's not because of us. That's because of just the way the system is kind of falling apart. And, you know, if the system does fall apart, it's nice to know that we do have a kind of like a little lifeline here. We have a lifeboat,
absolutely,
you know, in this perfect storm that may be heading our way. So, you know,
absolutely. And that's another very key part of this is that, you know, if we as a community can sort of design ways to exchange without being dependent on the central bank, the Federal Reserve, then what they do, we become less beholden to their policies. And for instance, just the other day, the dollar closed at an all-time low against the euro. Mm-hmm. And of course, we all know what's been going on in the subprime lending market and the stock market as a result. And of course, now the rest of the global economy as a result. And all those things are kind of artifacts of the way that we conduct business, not necessarily on a local level, but the way we conduct business at a very large corporate level. And what's unfortunate is that those very large corporate entities, we become beholden to them on the local level because our exchange medium is completely defined by that. So if problems start developing there, here's an interesting way to think about it. Let's say, we go into a recession or something of that kind. Well, all the same people and all the same potential is still here in Portland. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the same working potential is still here. All the same natural resources are still here. The only thing that's changed is that the exchange medium, there's become less of the exchange medium, or the exchange medium has been devalued in some way. But all the same resources and people are still here.
Right. Oh, yeah. There's work that needs to be done. There's people that need work to do, but there are no jobs. Jobs are something that gets given to us from outside.
Now, wouldn't it be excellent if we could find a way to perhaps not separate, but at least become a little less dependent on that external exchange medium? Mm-hmm. So when, and this is a great local insurance policy against economic fluctuations.
Right. Just in case, we're here. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the whole federal system, it's my understanding is now for the last, I don't know how many years, I mean, even before the Bush people, but they've been putting money, they've been increasing the money supply, which has really kind of created this artificial boom. And the only thing they can think of doing is just keep throwing more money into it. And it every time they do that, it makes the dollar worth a little bit less.
Yeah.
And it's gotten now, I think, that, yeah, the Fed puts money into the system, but that does not mean that people are going to use it. They may not want to borrow anymore. The banks may not want to lend anymore. So no matter how much money you have available, if people don't use it, what does it do?
Well, one of the cruel ironies of our economic system is that simultaneously there can be inflation, which is basically too much money, and scarcity, which is too little money. And that's a very that's an artifact of kind of the way that it's set up. That and the difference, I think, with local currency is that in most cases it's backed by something of real value. Either the real goods and services offered by people who are willing to trade it, or by people's time, or by, in some cases, even commodities. There's been interesting examples of pegging local currency to things like rice or wheat, or there's actually a very interesting example of that occurred in the 70s in New Hampshire, where they basically pegged a local currency to a market, basically a basket of different commodities. The idea was that it was going to be inflation proof. So I think really what it comes down to is, you know, there's a number of things that are taking place, decisions that are being made outside of our region here, outside of Portland and outside of the Pacific Northwest, that in very deep ways affect how we can interact with each other economically. And I think it's really kind of our democratic imperative to begin to reclaim some of the economic underpinnings of our society.
Well, you know, it keeps the wealth here with us. You know, like if you buy $100 worth of stuff at Walmart, you know, well, aside from the money that the Walmart employees get, maybe they spend it at Walmart themselves, but a lot of that money just goes out of the area. It goes to corporate headquarters, and it goes to the stockholders, and who
Exactly.
Who knows what they do with it, you know? Little bit goes to China, you know, and those people working there get paid a pittance. But most of it, I think, just goes to the overhead. But if you spend that